When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
630 CHED Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 CHED.
Wild card time in the American League. One of the greatest rivalries in all of sports is on display. Yankees-Red Sox getting underway in a few minutes. Of course, we will keep you updated on that one. NHL preseason action tonight. Early in the second period, Toronto leads Montreal 3-2. Buffalo leads Pittsburgh 2-0. The Predators up 2-1 on the Hurricanes. It is the Islanders with a 2-0 lead on the Flyers. Panthers lead the Lightning 1-0. Just getting underway, the Blues and the Stars. Later, three games, including tentacle time, the Kraken against the Canucks. The Canucks are at Rogers Place on Thursday, 5:30 faceoff show here on 6:30 CHED. The game will start at 7. Friday, we got the Elks and the Bombers, and then Saturday, we have the Oilers' final preseason game once again against the Canucks. That one's going to be in Van. The regular season starts next Wednesday. Wednesday the 13th. Like, if people are afraid of the number 13, should they not hate the 13th of the month every day, whether it's every month, whether it's on a Friday or not? That's my question there. Anyway, Wednesday the 13th, that's next Wednesday, Canucks at Oilers to start the regular season. That'll be a 6 o'clock face-off show with the game at 8 here on 6:30 CHED. Thank you so much for tuning in tonight. Yeah, looking forward to following this baseball game. Unfortunately, the Blue Jays just short in their efforts to get a wild card spot, but... I would think that a Yankees-Boston matchup is something that will draw in even the most casual of baseball fans, at least for a portion of the broadcast tonight. Tomorrow, it is the Cardinals against the heavily favored Dodgers on the National League side of the ledger. So, the Oilers got the comeback win last night. I think certainly some shaky moments in the first half of the game or so, and I think that's going to be the concern for the Oilers here going into the season. Here's how I feel, and you know, I sometimes hesitate to say this because the 14 of you who listen to Inside Sports on a regular basis do not represent the entire Oilers fan base. At least I hope not. But I get the sense I am less concerned about the goaltending than I am maybe about the decor. And I guess the reason for that for me for that is I got to give Mike Smith for the credit for the season he had last year. I mean, a lot of people were unhappy when Smith came back to the Oilers and said, well, goaltending is going to be a weakness. You know, these guys aren't good enough. Smith had a pretty good year, so I give him credit for the season and, you know, hope he can be around that level again. You know, look, I think he got Nurse. Obviously, he's going to, I mean, what did he play, 29 and 26 minutes, the last two exhibition games, so he's going to be used a lot in the regular season. We know who Tyson Barrie is, offensive defenseman. Going to help what should be an outstanding power play once again. It looked pretty good last night, basically won the game in the third period. Yes, you know, 5-on-5, he struggles at times, but we know why he's on the team. Keith and CeCe has sort of been enlisted here as the shutdown pair. Look, I know CeCe played that role last year with the Pittsburgh Penguins. My question is, has he fully transitioned and embraced that role at this point in his career, and can he do it at a level acceptable for what the Oilers need? And with Duncan Keith, obviously the guy's resume is incredible. If you've read some stuff, especially put out by members of the analytics communities over the summer, you know, concerns maybe about him defending off the rush and some foot speed concerns and all those types of things. That pairing had some struggles last night, again, mostly in the first half of the game. Well, though I think probably all the Oilers pairings did at some point, and it was Keith's first game back out of the quarantine. So we'll see where they go with that. Those are my concerns there. Bouchard has played a lot in the exhibition schedule, some good, some maybe not so good. And then you got, you know, Cuckoo, Lagesson, and Russell around as well. I think Cuckoo's a pretty steady player for the most part. Nothing spectacular, but I think he's fine in your third pair. Chris Russell will hopefully make his preseason debut coming up on Thursday against the Canucks. So that's kind of how I am with the goal prevention stuff. I'm worried that, you know, the actual defending by the defenseman might be more of an issue than the stops by the goaltender. But we'll see how it goes along. I mean, hey, I'm open to debate and hearing what you think, of course. 780-496-0063 is the hotline presented by CertainTeed professional-grade building materials. I do want to talk today, though, about a guy up front. And he's a player that's been talked about a lot, like a lot, ever since he was drafted fourth overall in 2016. You know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about the Bison King. Is that nickname going to stick? I don't know if it will, but I saw some people tweeting it out last night in the wake of Jesse Puljujärvi's Bison adventure a few days ago. Went to Elk Island Park, took a picture next to a Bison, and gave a pretty classic clip when asked about it by Mark Spector about it being a nice and kind Bison. Anyway, it is Jesse Puljujärvi, the Bison King. And I've posted a poll here on Twitter because I wanted to gauge the level of optimism. By, and again, informal poll. We can hardly say it represents everybody, but it gives us a little slice. So I thought, okay, what goal ranges do I want to give? Jesse Puljujärvi slated to play with the best offensive player in the NHL, Connor McDavid, certainly going to help. So I thought, what would just be a disaster of a season for Jesse Puljujärvi? So I'm asking you, how many goals does he get this season? So I thought, okay, 12 goals or less, that's going to be the bottom end. Then I put 13 to 19 goals. And then I put 20 to 26 goals. And last year, if you extrapolate his total over 82 games, he's got a 22-goal season. So I thought, okay, can he be in that range or push it a little more? And then I put, what if he just goes off? What if he really becomes a player who looks like a fourth overall draft pick and becomes one of the better scorers, maybe not only on the Oilers, but maybe even in the National Hockey League? So I put 27 goals or more for the final choice. Right now, I got 300 people voting, 57% at 20 to 26. Next best is indeed the high end, 31%, 27 goals or more. I got to tell you what, I said it a lot at the start of last season, back in January, when I got asked, Reed, what do you expect from Jesse Puljujärvi? I said nothing. And they said, whoa, 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 like you think he's that bad? Like he'll literally do nothing. I said, no, what I mean is I have no expectations in terms of being able to define who this player is going to be coming back. I just don't have the information. When he was with the Oilers, the last time we saw him with the Oilers in 18-19, it wasn't going very well for him and for the team. He got the surgery. He went and played in Finland, and his stats in Finland were pretty respectable, but it's not the NHL. So I can't tell you what to expect. I really don't know. If you would have told me going into last season, Reed, 10 games into the year, Jesse Puljujärvi is going to be out of the NHL, I would have said, yeah, possible. And if you would have told me, he's going to be fine. He's going to be coming along. I would say, yeah, I seriously can't tell you what to expect. Well, I'm at the point now, and maybe color me a blind optimist wearing rose-colored glasses. I think he's going to be very good. I look at Jesse Puljujärvi now, and I see an NHL player. Do I see a perfect NHL player? Of course not. Are there areas that are rough around the edges? Absolutely. But I feel like when I watch him now, I am not seeing a player who is trying to figure out what to do moment to moment on the ice. I see a player who's recognizing plays and making the appropriate plays and finishing off some pretty nice goals, whether they're tap-ins in front, whether he's driving the net, taking the pass from Leon, or as we saw against the Jets a few nights ago, he just walks into the top of the circle and drives a slap shot past Eric Comrie, where he just says, to heck with it, everybody. Big shot. I'm using it. Here we go. Boom, boom, Bison King. So I actually think Jesse Puljujärvi is going to score over 20 goals, and quite frankly, I think he has a very good chance to get into the high 20s. He's going to be on the power play sometimes. Zach Hyman's the net front presence to start with, but he's going to be on the power play sometimes. And again, he's going to play with Connor McDavid 5-on-5. He's going to play with Hyman, two players who can retrieve the puck and get him the puck. And now when Puljujärvi is getting the puck, I don't see a player who's fumbling around in his brain trying to figure out what to do with it and thus fumbling with the puck on the ice. I'm going to point out one particular play from last night. And you might say to me, Reed, what are you talking about? It's one little play. How do you know what was going on? And I accept that because, of course, sometimes maybe we overanalyze things a little bit. Just like I see all these people analyzing this show Squid Games, which, as I've come to understand now, is not apparently not about squid. which confuses me enough to begin with. But perhaps that's a tale for another night or later on in this show. I remember a few times last year, Jesse Puljujärvi got the puck and immediately almost slapped it back to the player who gave it to him. Like, it's important to one-touch the puck because sometimes you have to move it quickly and make defenders move their feet and try to draw them out of position. But I feel when Jesse did that last year, he was saying, no, I do not want this. I'm just putting it right back to you. So, oh, bang, back to you. I don't have to deal with it. I can't make a mistake. There was a rush yesterday where he was crossing the blue line and he got the pass as he was going over the line and he didn't stop it. He slapped it right over to his left to Connor McDavid, who was moving faster than him in stride over the blue line. And I remember thinking to myself when this play happened, okay, is that the Jesse Puljujärvi of last season who is almost befuddled when he gets the opportunity to handle the puck and has to pass it off like a bizarre game of musical chairs or perhaps musical pucks, which was something we played in Evansburg when I was a child? Or was that Jesse Puljujärvi saying, Connor's going fast, I got to get this to him right now, I'm going to chop it to him immediately, and then we go from there? I felt it was the latter. I felt it was an appropriate play on the attack, as opposed to Puljujärvi saying, whoa, baby, whoa, I don't want this thing. I'd sooner be riding a bison than have to handle the puck. So I think he's coming along. I think he's coming along, and I'm optimistic about where the young man can go. And he's not so young anymore. He's now 23 years of age, and I think, you know, we talk a lot about Hyman being a really good complementary player for McDavid. I think Puljujärvi has become that as well. And it appears most people share my optimism, which is nice. Optimism is always good. Happy to hear from you. 780-496-0063. Jack Michaels is coming up as we roll along. We'll go to Winnipeg to talk to Doug Brown. Pretty significant news there. Kenny Lawler, one of their best players, isn't going to play against the Elks on Friday. It's Inside Sports on 630 Chet.
Tell me about Elk Island Park and that buffalo.
We went a little walk there, and the bison was like 10 meters there, and take a couple pictures with bison, so it was funny, and the bison was kind. Nice bison. didn't move at all, so.
He stood there and let you take his picture?
Yeah.
Do they have bison in Finland? They must.
No. Only moose. Big moose and reindeers.
There we go. That's a great clip. Jesse's personality, Rob and I were talking about it on the Face-Off show yesterday. There's something sort of joyful about him. And I think you need a mix in the dressing room. I mean, we talk a lot about, well, you know, guys being good in the room and attitudes and all that kind of stuff. I think you need a mix. I honestly think if everybody on a team was upbeat and happy all the time, I don't know if that would work. I quite frankly think you need a couple borderline surly guys sometimes that are going to, you know, maybe balance it a little bit and keep it maybe a little on edge and never let everybody get too high. And I also think you need those guys like Jesse, who are going to find a way to make people smile no matter what. Yeah, good for him for sure. By the way, here's an off-topic topic for tonight, if you want to. 780-496-0063. Don't forget, you can also email me, insidesports@630ched.com. Oh, and that Twitter poll on Jesse's goal prediction for the upcoming year. If you want to follow me on Twitter, and again, I warn you, it is a pretty boring Twitter account. A lot of tweets about hockey and the Elks. At Reed Wilkins, REIDWILKINS. The closest you've ever been to an animal that could have harmed you if had the situation gone poorly. Maybe you were in the situation unknowingly. I have had a few friends say to me in the last couple of days, whoa, what if that bison decided to start running at poor Jesse? Well, luckily it didn't. So the closest you have ever been to an animal that could have caused you considerable harm had the situation gone differently. 780-496-0063. Louie writes into the show. He says, every time I see Puljujärvi, he's got the right attitude and his good nature is contagious. He's really helping the Oilers gel. I hope you are right and he has a killer year. That is from Louie. Another texter says he's matured and he also sees the game a whole lot better and is a whole lot more mature. I like how you put that, anonymous texter. He sees the game better. He's not just seeing where the puck came from. He's seeing the next step in the play, or he's seeing where he has to go to make himself available for a shot. Somebody else writes in and says, call me a blind man, but I'm going to say Puljujärvi, 30 goals, 50-point season with the longer year. That would be a heck of a year. Harry says, Reed, your thoughts on Yamamoto. I think he is not as advertised from his first 25 games, playing like a fourth liner. Perhaps he needs more seasoning in the AHL. Yeah, here's how I look at that, Harry. I think that those, I think it was 27 games. He had 26 points in 27 games when he came up on for that New Year's Eve game. When will that be? New Year's Eve 2019, I guess. You know, I think that was a bit of an explosion from Yamamoto. And I think last year, hopefully, was a bit of a down year. Harry, I'll tell you this. I'd be fine if the Kyler Yamamoto the Oilers wind up with for the next several seasons is sort of comfortably in between those two extremes. I mean, I don't think he's going to be a point-of-game player, even if he's with Draisaitl and Nugent Hopkins most of the year. Hopefully, he's a lot better than 4 goals in the last 40, 41 games, whatever it worked out to last year. I think he's an extremely hardworking player. I think he's extremely motivated. I think he's good at dogging the puck. He's clearly getting the first opportunity with Nugent Hopkins and Draisaitl. You know, I think Cassian goes in there if Yamamoto falls off and Yamamoto moves down into the bottom six. Harry, I got to tell you, at this point, I don't see him going back to Bakersfield. I think the Oilers already think he got the seasoning in Bakersfield, and now they need to see where he fits into the National Hockey League. Okay, we got to call a quick... Oh, we're getting animal texts already. This is going to be fun. Jack Michaels coming up. Who knows where that's going to go? It's Inside Sports on 630 CHED. Home run, Bogarts for the Red Sox in the bottom of the first. Now into the top of the second. Red Sox leading the Yankees 2-0 in the American League wildcard game. Hockey tonight, late in the second period. Toronto up 5-2 on the Canadiens. They're also out shooting the Habs 37-13. Nick Ritchie with a couple of goals for Toronto. It is the Sabres leading the Penguins 3-1. Predators up 2-1 on the Hurricanes. After 2, Islanders 2, Flyers nothing. Late second period, 1-1. Panthers and Lightning, no score late in the first between the Blues and the Stars. 3 games coming up later, including Vancouver, home to Seattle. Because of Jesse Puljujärvi's close encounter somewhat with the Bison, I asked, what was the closest you ever were to an animal that could have done you extreme damage had things gone wrong, whether you knew it or not? Alberta Oil says, inches away from stepping on a rattlesnake while working down south. Mark in St. Albert said, Reed, I was 2 feet from about 10 bull sharks diving with them. The smallest one was about 5 feet. Wow, in St. Albert, Mark. Right in the Sturgeon River, I guess, eh? Well, there's a few good ones here. I'll just read one more before I get to Jack. I'll save some for later. This texter says, I was at a panda research center in China with my wife and 2 kids. The grumpy zookeeper told our interpreter we can go in if we wanted to see the panda. Next thing I know, we're standing right beside the panda who is sitting down eating bamboo next to my wife and 2 teenage kids. Do you know how big a panda's canines are? We're still alive, but that bamboo is devastated. They are not soft and cuddly. They are more wiry. Close encounter with a panda. Yes, which I believe are rather large animals when it comes right down to it. Speaking of large, friendly animals, Jack Michaels is on the line. Jack, how are you doing?
I'm a little intrigued that you didn't know that a panda was that large an animal until right now.
No, I did know that. That's what I was saying, that I knew they were large. They are okay. Big.
I just wanted to make sure.
Like, one of the species is a giant panda.
Yeah. But I thought you might have watched too many Kung Fu Panda movies or whatever.
I don't know if I've seen any of those. See, I don't have any kids, so I kind of have missed out on that part of my life where you watch kids' movies not because you're a kid, but because you're an adult with kids. So now, are you familiar with the Kung Fu Panda movies? Is that something your offspring
were
into?
I'm not, but I remember when it was in, like, wasn't it in, you know, McDonald's? Or they gave the toys away with Happy Meals or something. And by the way, Rita, I don't think that's the only thing you've missed out on.
Yeah, well, fair enough. Yeah, there's a lot of things like changing a diaper. No idea. I wouldn't know where to begin.
No.
On other people,
I was talking
anyway.
About life in general, but whatever.
I've missed out on quite a bit, as I'm sure we all have, Jackie.
We proceed.
Okay, closest. You got yourself all giggly here. Close encounter.
Giggly. I find it curious that was the one thing you felt like you'd missed out on. The closest encounter I ever came to an animal that could have done Lee, other than being on, right before the pandemic, I took a trip to Cabo and got, almost unreasonably close to a whale. We went on a whale watching tour and, I was very skeptical and didn't want to spend the money. I thought it was stupid. And then, we're in this little skiff and we were right there with them. I felt like this seems unsafe, but beyond like a tour type of thing, I had a moose go after my dog, Izzy. Izzy was the precursor to Roger, both black and tans. Izzy was a Roddy lab mix. Roger is a border collie shepherd, but that's irrespective of this conversation. I did have a moose try to stomp my dog. Moose are certainly not, it's not unheard of, especially when the snow gets deep. They don't like that. So they end up trotting around in roads and backyards and things of that nature. And I had a dog who was very protective, did not like other dogs, did not like any other animals, and kind of bit off more than she could chew. And long story short, I tried to rescue it, but I've actually got a photo of that sequence, not with me in it, but with the moose about to trample my Roddy lab mix.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, you have to show me that photo next time. That's a bit of a spooky one for sure. Jack, yeah. Michael's checking in tonight on Inside Sports.
Moose, sir, I had one born in my backyard. Did I ever told you about that?
No, we used to have moose in the yard in Evansburg, north of Evansburg, quite a bit. I don't think I was ever outside and close to one at the same time, but they would wander eat stuff out of the garden sometimes.
I had a moose. I watched a moose being born, and I had an iPhone 1 at the time, and that's the one thing I wish. I'm not sure I was as relevant with the technology, but that's something we should have somehow downloaded onto a computer and somehow been able to save that sucker, because that was pretty wild, watching a moose walk for the first time. And we were so, kind of amazed by what we were seeing in our backyard, literally in our backyard, that I didn't consider the consequences, that I had to take the long way around to get the kids to preschool and could not let the dog out in the backyard for weeks. Because if you think a moose is mean normally, try having it intercede with one of its offspring. That is an angry animal. So
this was in Alaska, Jack?
What's that? Oh, yeah, that was in Alaska. Yeah. But we were prisoners in our own home. At least, we were consigned to front yard and beyond for about a month. That was a little less fun.
All right. Yeah, that's a great story. Before we get to the hockey stuff, baseball game I mentioned, Yankees, Red Sox. Look, off the top of the show, I call it one of the greatest rivalries in sports. You and I and Bob have had this discussion on and off air that at least, certainly for me, baseball does not pull me in like it used to. I can remember the 2003-04 American League Championship Series, Yankees and Red Sox, to me, classic series, epic endings in both. But I'll keep an eye on this one tonight. Where are you at with this game?
Yeah, I'll be I was watching it actually, number one, because I knew you'd give me some sort of ill-timed update if I tried to tape it and then watch it later. So I was watching right up until the moment you called. So I'm well aware that Boston's up 2-0. I'd appreciate no further updates until this conversation is history. But yeah, I'm the same way. Baseball doesn't have the same grip on me it once does, once did. But I still, you know, watch the playoffs, and you know, when the Tribe is in it, you know, then I'm fixated. But you know, when Cleveland's not involved, I'm not as transfixed. And I'm also, you know, pretty partial to the Pirates, and it's been a while since they've been good. So, I'll be watching tonight for sure.
All right. Jack Michaels joining us on Inside Sports. He's going to have the call of the next two Oilers games here on 630 CHED and the Oilers Radio Network, Vancouver
the next four.
Thursday. Oh, yeah, sorry. I'm not thinking beyond the preseason right now, but you're going to be doing a lot of games.
Trust me.
I'm focused on the preseason, Jack. One game at a time, baby. Anyway, I put out a poll on Twitter, and as we know, Twitter is the be-all and end-all of everything. It beat Facebook for several hours yesterday. I wanted to see how optimistic people were about Jesse Puljujärvi. So I put 12 goals or less than 1%. 13 to 19 goals is a 12.5%. We got 59% 20 to 26 goals, which is likely where he would have been last year if it was a full season. And a full 27% of over 600 voters are really optimistic and say 27 goals or more for Puljujärvi. I talked about him a lot in the first half of the show, and I'll sum it up this way to you, Jack, to react to. He no longer looks to me like a player trying to figure out how to play in the NHL. He looks like an NHL player who's trying to figure out how to make plays and do all those types of things.
Well, Rob Brown and I had a chance to, you know, sit and watch the last couple of games in a way that normally we wouldn't. And the one thing I've noticed is his cruising speed still eats up so much ground. He's a powerful skater, and I understand that, you know, McDavid with the blinding speed and Leon Draisaitl with the straight lines to the net usually get most of the, you know, attention when it comes to the best skaters on the team. But I think yes, Puljujärvi is going to give him run for their money. I mean that. Each stride of his eats up so much ground, and he's, you know, he's a big man, and he plays big. He's got a wide range. He covers a lot of ice. He can be a really good forechecker just by making himself wide through the shoulders. I mean, he just, you know, there's not a whole lot of lanes for a defenseman to work around with a guy like that bearing down on you. So that's what I was really impressed with, almost mesmerized with his skating. And his skating, of course, you know, like everything in hockey, puts you in great position to do damage at the offensive end. I mean, that's the one thing we've seen in today's NHL is there's no way around it. You've got to be a great skater to be a great player in the National Hockey League these days. And I think, yes, Puljujärvi, that skating stride, that power in his stride, even when he's not going full out, you know, has really been one of the reasons I think he's improved so much. Is he knows where the right spot is, and because he's so powerful and explosive on his skates, he's able to get to that position relatively easily.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up, because I didn't talk too much about his skating in the first part of the show. I was talking more about his finish and his recognition, and now seeing plays ahead of time as opposed to maybe being reluctant or trying to figure it out. You know, he kind of knows where he wants the puck to go, where he wants to go. And what was that shot against Comrie, Jack? 40 feet, maybe? I don't know how many 40-foot slap shots are going to go in the regular season. But just the fact that he was willing to take it, that just the fact he was willing to say, hey, I'm driving this one on net, and maybe it's a goal, maybe it's a rebound, whatever, but I'm not hesitating. I got the shot here, and I'm going to use it. Like, to me, that's a little sign of a player who's not hesitant anymore.
Well, and it's a good sign because, you know, Bob and I, one of the things that drive us batty sometimes about today's game is even the most elite players are, you know, sometimes are just too selective when it comes to shooting the puck, and even the very best in the game. And there's probably a handful of times each year where, you know, where Bob comments on the fact that, you know, had Connor McDavid not been such an unselfish player, he probably would have been better off shooting the puck in that circumstance. There's, you know, again, a handful of circumstances where the best players in the game make that play. So when you see a guy, you know, not afraid to shoot it from any spot on the ice, and this is where I think Brendan Perlini has made a name for himself. You know, that's a good thing. But, you know, coaches don't mind that. You're not a selfish player. And, you know, some of that's drummed into you. And you know, you need to get away from that if that's a strength of yours. And Puljujärvi, you know, he does have a good shot. He does have a heavy shot. And you're right to talk about it, Reed, because it's like Nugent Hopkins. It seems to get on you in a hurry, too. It's deceptively hard. So, again, I think there's reason for optimism around Yes. And, you know, again, I'm not going to go too crazy on this because, you know, remember, I don't know how much time he's going to see on the power play. And, you know, so I don't know whether – you know, anything north of 27 goals is pushing it a little bit. But I definitely see Jesse Puljujärvi as a guy who's going to contribute. I would estimate somewhere between 22 and 24 goals this year. I mean, that's kind of a pretty narrow window, but that's kind of where I see him slotting in. And, you know, again, it's going to be another, that's not to say that that's going to be his ceiling either. Cause I still think he's finding out how strong, how powerful, and how dominant he can be. That was something that very early in Leon Draisaitl's career, Todd McClellan stressed. Is he went to Leon and said, you know, you don't have to be the second best guy on the ice tonight. You can be the best guy, even though you're playing with Connor McDavid. And I think Leon really took that to heart. And as a result, there are numerous nights during the season where Leon Draisaitl's the best player on the ice. I'm not saying that Jesse Puljujärvi is going to occupy the same strata that Leon Draisaitl and Connor McDavid currently do in the National Hockey League, where you could arguably call them the two best players in the game. But I do think on certain nights, Jesse Puljujärvi does have an opportunity to be the best player on the ice. Once he realizes that, then I think we're going to find out what his ceiling really is.
All right, quickly, Trucker Trav says, hey, Reed, when is Jack's first call on TV? So there you go. I can let you answer Trucker Trav.
That's game three against Anaheim. So I think, what is that, Tuesday, 19th. The 19th, would that be?
Yep.
Yeah, awesome. So that'll be Cam's first call on 630 Ched and, you know, my first call on Sportsnet. So that's where we sit as of now. I only have my schedule through the end of November. Certainly looking forward to the start of the year and getting the games going for real. And we got a taste of it last night. And Connor McDavid said it best. That felt less like a preseason game and more toward a very realistic prequel to a regular season game.
Jack, always appreciate you coming on the show. I'll see you at the rink tomorrow. Enjoy the rest of the baseball game, my man.
I'll do that for sure. Take care.
That is Jack Michaels, play-by-play voice for the Oilers here on 630 Ched and Sportsnet West. He does both. He's very talented. And I didn't spoil the baseball score for him during that entire interview. Back after the break, we got more of your animal stories and Doug Brown coming up. Elk struggling this year, 2-5. They're going to play at Winnipeg on Friday. We got the game for you here on 630 Ched. Your animal close encounter stories. Jared says, I was charged by a ram at Ram River Falls climbing a steep incline. I was lucky. Well, it is called Ram River. Scott in Calgary says, Reed, the most dangerous animal I've had a close encounter with was a moose on my hiking trail about 20 feet in front of me when I was in my 20s. It must have been close to 7 feet tall at the shoulders. Yeah, I feel like that, and we had somebody else writing about the, you know, how large the panda was. I feel like we don't really grasp how large some of these animals are that we just see on TV or are in pictures. And then when we see them in the wild, it's like, oh my goodness, they're giants. Mark, well, okay, first of all, Mark, I like how you present this. Mark wrote in one text, and then a minute later, he wrote in another text. So Mark's first text was grizzly, 25 feet, fly fishing. So grizzly, 25 feet, fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
So that kind of painted a picture for me, Kellen. And then Mark wrote back to clarify, I was fly fishing, not the bear. See, I just feel like from reading those two texts that Mark and I would get along.
You mean it wasn't like a children's novel?
I love how he clarified that. Like, because his first text, grizzly, so he paints the picture. The grizzly, 25 feet, fly fishing. So I see the grizzly, then I see the 25-foot distance, and then I see Mark fly fishing. But he wrote back to clarify, I was fly fishing, not the bear. Now, maybe that's might be a better story if the bear was fly fishing.
Mm-hmm.
That might be what. Do we still have that overnight show with all the aliens and stuff? I don't think we have that anymore.
No.
Yeah, that was probably the best show ever on Ched. What was it called? Late at Night?
Yeah.
No, it was called The Show.
Coast to Coast.
Coast to Coast. Yeah, Coast to Coast AM. So it actually didn't have aliens in the title at all. But a fly fishing bear, that would fit into that show. That was a good show. Cheddar the goat's ready to go.
Yep.
The agreeable beaver says, in grade 5 or 6, I was walking our long driveway to the bus. I encountered a beaver on the way. I got about 8 feet away from him. He reared up on his hind legs and started slapping his tail. It seemed like he was 5 feet tall. Yeah, one of our dogs back north of Evansburg got into a wrestling match with a beaver. And I was a kid, and I remember being surprised at how large the beaver was. Anyway, Doug Brown is coming up. We'll talk a little bit about that bomber story. Kenny Lawler suspended by the team for driving under the influence. Back after the news and weather.
630 Chad Inside Sports with Reed Wilkins. Weekdays at 6 on 630 Chad.